Patterns of Praise, Disc 7, Lecture 13, Prayer, Tikkun, and Yeshua's Return.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody who has come out to the conference and all you guys who have lasted. That's right. You get a t-shirt that says, I survived. There you go. 10 mile hike in 30 minutes. Thank you so much for coming out and making this a success. We hope that we have been able to provide you not only as our goal, not only information, but tools to help you begin on your prayer journey. Okay? In this conference, hopefully we've given you both to help you become a man or a woman of prayer. And so far you've learned quite a bit as far as the beginning phases of what biblical prayer is, what it means to enter into the daily times of prayer, that, you know, we all love to celebrate Sabbath and festivals, but we have other appointed times that we need to be entering into, and these are these times that are throughout our day, that we have appointments with Hashem, with the Holy One, and we need to make those appointments. We've discussed the language of prayer and how to approach Hashem and how to understand these prayers and what they're saying and how it helps us to understand the Scriptures, as Joe said many times very, very well. We've helped identify the origins of liturgy and see how they're not just man-made scripts, that they are divinely given by the Father for the services of the temple to function within the temple service and to help us function in conjunction and corresponding with those times of prayer and what would have been happening in those services. We've looked at the apostolic tradition of prayer of both Yeshua and his disciples and how we are to be mimicking their prayer life, okay, with all of the same facets that they engaged in, that we should be engaging in as well. We got to know our Siddur a little bit. We gave you your own Siddur to help bridge the gap between beginning in prayer and eventually using something like this. This is your training wheels. Okay, think of it that way. So use those training wheels. We've given you an exposure to how we are to use our connection with Hashem to bless Him for everything in life. And one of the examples we gave is in simply blessing Him for everything that we put in our mouth. Okay? We get His permission first, because all of the earth and its fullness belongs to the Lord, and we get His permission to partake of it. We enjoy it. We are benefited from it. And then we return blessings and thanksgivings to Him for those things. We have prayed together. We have prayed together Shacharit and Mincha. Okay? Has anybody enjoyed that? Good. We have had fellowship meals together. We've enjoyed blessing the Lord together through those meals. Conversations that are focused on Him and upon prayer and upon the holy temple and upon the work that He's doing in the kingdom and how we want to be a part of it. We have discussed the role of women in prayer. Debbie did an excellent job in that. And we've learned things that will help us to understand a woman's unique position when it comes to prayer, because there are unique circumstances and factors that need to be factored in those regards, and how the woman has a special role in those things. We've talked about overcoming obstacles in prayer and how that we will be bombarded with anything the enemy can throw at us to keep us from praying. But we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can overcome all those things with a little patience, a little planning, and a little diligence, right? And through continual prayer. Roughly, we gave you a quick navigation lesson of how to get through the Siddur and find the things that you need and how to use it and how it's arranged and the reasoning and the logic behind that. And last, what I want to do is basically challenge you. This is your commissioning. And so I want to encourage you to take small steps. As Joe said earlier, he had a friend that she decided she's going to begin doing all this stuff, and she went gung-ho, and she was burnt out within a few weeks, okay? That is easy to do in anything, not just this kind of stuff, okay? In anything. And I know people that happens to all the time. Don't try to swallow the elephant whole. Take it one bite at a time. But really don't do that because it's not kosher, okay? So, but you could do one giraffe at a time. One bite at a time for a giraffe, right? Those giraffes are kosher. But anyway, here's some things to remember. You have to start somewhere, okay? So start. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Just do it, okay? Second is start now. Don't wait. When you wake up in the morning, say Modeh Ani. If you can't remember it, put your siddur on your headboard or on your nightstand before you go to bed. You wake up and you grab this and your eyes are still trying to focus and you're like, oh my goodness, what is that? Okay? But you'll do it. At least you'll do it. Okay? I gratefully thank you, living and eternal King. Modeh Ani lefanecha. Okay? And then always remember that we don't want to be static in our prayers. We don't want to continue to do or end up thinking we have arrived the same place we started. We want to constantly be growing and adding to our prayer life, whether that means, you know, picking up something here, picking up something there. Usually, every festival or something like this, I try to make a commitment to do something new in my prayers. A year ago or something like that, I committed to adding some additional psalms to my Sukkah Day Zimrah. Okay? I committed to saying the Our Father every time I prayed. Okay? I don't say this to boast, but I say this to say this is where I am and how you can take those steps. But I was challenged at a conference in May, at the end of May, and when we were doing group prayers, and the conference wasn't on prayer. This is just part of the conference, right? This is just part of the services. And all the prayers were in Hebrew, okay? And so I was challenged. I was like, I can read Hebrew, so why am I not doing more prayers in Hebrew? And so I said, from this point forward, I'm going to do all my prayers in Hebrew. I may have to cut back on what I'm doing right now, which I did a little bit, but I'm going to pray them in Hebrew so I can know them well, okay? I'm going to pray, as Joe said, I'm going to pray the things that I know, especially in a different language, pray the things that I know that I can understand, and they're not just words. And then from there, I can build on that foundation. And so you start praying in English on the things that you know, the things that touch your heart, and add on to that as you go. And if you want to continue in Hebrew, I strongly encourage you to do that because that's how we keep this thing alive. This is how we pass it on to the next generation. So I want to give you a 21-day challenge. Why 21 days? Does anybody know? There you go. That's how long it takes to create a habit, a pattern, something that's instilled within you and becomes part of you for who you are, okay? It just becomes routine, okay? So take the 21-day challenge. You've been given a siddur. Get familiar with it. Sometime when you're not doing anything, just sit. You don't have to be actually praying. Sit down and read through some of these prayers. Get familiar with the context of them better. Get familiar with the heart of these prayers better. Understand exactly what it is you're praying, okay? You don't really have an excuse from here on out. So use it to connect with your Father at the appointed times. As we said, you're going to have challenges, but you can overcome them because challenges come with anything that is worthwhile. Challenges come with anything that has value. So remember the Talmudic dictum, according to the effort is the reward. In our modern vernacular, no pain, no gain, right? So if you want the benefits and the rewards for the prayer, then there's no other path than prayer itself. Okay, so knowing about the prayers, and that's why we did arrange the conference the way this is, knowing about the prayers is not the same thing as praying. There's two totally separate things. And so you need to act upon the knowledge you've been given. Start slow. You can always add to what you're doing, as I said, and move up, add more prayers, eventually get yourself a full-size siddur, and pray as much as you have the ability to. One important concept that we don't want to forget. When you pray, pour out your heart like water. Okay? As the book of Lamentations says, pour out your heart like water. I want to give you a quick illustration. One thing at this conference, they did have one session on prayer, and Aaron Eby was the speaker, and he used this illustration that I thought was just excellent. And it's going to be hard for us to visualize it here. He had a PowerPoint like video that he could do. The prayers that are specifically the times of prayer that are specifically mentioned in the scripture are these two prayers, Shacharit and Mincha, okay? Ma'ariv, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Ma'ariv. We need to pray Ma'ariv. But these are the two that are connected to the bookends, so to speak, of the temple service. And so, as the sun comes up, we have Mincha, right? Sun starts to go down, we have Ma'ariv. We have the whole night. The sun comes up, we have Shacharit. Sun starts to go down, we have Mincha, the whole night, okay? So if you were to look at the earth as it's spinning, maybe from God's perspective, it would look something like as the earth spins and the sun is on it, it would be like if these were blips on the earth as the earth was spinning, it would look something like blip, 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 blip. Now think it in terms of thump, 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 right? Like a heartbeat, okay? Like the heartbeat of God. And so when we pray these prayers together, we, in a sense, are the beating heart of the Father. And so when we don't do our part, then we have problems with that heartbeat. We're out of rhythm, okay? We need something to get it back going. And so let's continue that heartbeat. In our prayers, we also want to continue to pray for Yeshua's return and the establishment of His kingdom. This is one of the things that we need to be very, very mindful of. When we pray the Avinu, we are praying for these things, our Father. When we are praying the Aleinu, we're praying for these things. Really, all the prayers, but those are the ones that we can easily see this concept being fulfilled, okay? This crying out for this reestablishment of His kingdom on earth, and the return of our Master. Aaron Eby, in his book, First Steps of Messianic Prayer, says, "We await the time when God's name is sanctified, His kingdom comes, and His will is done on earth as it is in heaven." He's discussing the Our Father. He says, "In the meantime, we gather in our communities, and in one voice make a collective pilgrimage to His heavenly throne room. There, God meets with us. He strengthens us. He encourages us. He enlightens our eyes, and we bask in his dwelling presence. With that in mind, we look forward to the time, as the Elenu says, quoting from Zechariah 14:9, when in that day Adonai will be king over all the earth. On that day Hashem will be one, and his name will be one. And I'd like to conclude with the blessing that's the Yehi Ratzon at the end of the Amidah. Yehi Ratzon mifnecha Adonai Eloheinu ve'Elohei Avoteinu she'banei beit hamikdash bimhara v'yamenu v'ten chalkenu b'torateka v'sham na'avadka b'yira kimei olam u'kshanim kadmaniyot v'arva la'Adonai minchat Yehudu v'Yushalayim kimei olam u'kshanim kadmaniyot. May it be your will, Hashem our God, and the God of our forefathers, that the holy temple be rebuilt quickly in our days. Grant us our share in your Torah, and we will serve you there with reverence as in days of old and in former years. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to Hashem as in the days of old and in former years. May it be so.